Medieval History, April 14th through 17th. Thursday, April 16th. History Unit, Feudalism. Lesson 2, Kings, Dukes, Counts. Lesson 2, Socratic Guiding Question. Keep this question in mind as you study. How is the feudal system organized? Objective, be able to do this by the end of this lesson. Number 1, define the following terms: homage, duke, count, baron, knight, serf. Number 2. Diagram the basic chain of command in a fictional kingdom. Introduction to Lesson 2. Yesterday we learned about the origins and basic organization of the feudal system in medieval Europe. Today we will dive even deeper into the different hierarchical levels within that system. We will answer questions such as, what is the difference between a duke and a count? And what exactly is a knight, anyway? Jog your memory of yesterday's lesson by answering the following review questions. Number 1. What is a vassal? Number 2. Why would a king grant land to someone? Number 3. How might the feudal system be considered a win-win situation for people in medieval Europe? Fealty and homage. Yesterday, in our imaginary kingdom, the king had split up his land into different pieces and given it to people who would become his vassals. To become someone's vassal, one would have to participate in a special event called an homage ceremony, where the vassal would swear an oath and pledge his fealty or allegiance to his lord. Homage comes from the Latin word for man, homo. So to pay homage to a lord is literally to become the lord's man. Once someone pledges homage, a lord could depend on his vassal for support and loyalty. Page 21. Dukes and duchies. Remember what our imaginary kingdom looked like yesterday. The king split up his land into large pieces. These largest pieces that a king would split up his kingdom into are called duchies. While the leader of a kingdom is called a king, the leader of a duchy is called a duke. A king might have multiple dukes who pledge their fealty to him and become his vassal. Let's look at our kingdom again and label some duchies inside it. You can see there are three dukes underneath the king in this diagram, and this kingdom is divided into three or four duchies. Counts. Now we have a nicely organized kingdom made of kings and dukes, but usually a duchy was also a very large area of land. In fact, it was so large that a duchy was difficult to govern all by one single duke. Dukes would solve this problem by breaking up their duchies into even further pieces. Like the king did for them, a duke would split up his land and give fiefs to people below him who would pledge fealty not directly to the king, but to the duke, so that the duke would have vassals of his own. The vassal of a duke was usually a count, and a count ruled over a county, the next subdivision of a duchy. This is where our modern word county comes from. You can see in the two diagrams the king's land, or his kingdom, being divided into duchies ruled over by dukes, and finally into counties ruled over by counts. You can see the various counties within duchies and the kingdom. And even smaller, a county might be broken into baronies led by a baron. Page 22. Whew! These things are getting complicated. And to make things even more confusing, you might have even counties that are not part of a larger duchy. And the count of that county pledges his fealty directly to the king and not to any duke. The blank area in the top left of our kingdom might be one of these counties governed by direct count to vassal to the king. Order these land divisions by size from largest to smallest. Duchy, barony, county, kingdom. Knights and other titles. Where do knights fall into all of this? The word knight can mean lots of different things. Originally, a knight was a soldier who rode on horseback with heavy armor. As time went on, knight became a title of honor that a lord would bestow upon someone in exchange for military service. Lords would even grant knights fiefs of their own so that a knight might also be a count or a baron. In fact, any feudal lord could hold many titles at one time. A duke was usually also a count of some county, and a king might also be duke of one or more duchies at a time. Another important thing to know about the titles of duke, count, and baron is that they would usually be passed down from parent to child, generation after generation. That means that if a duke had been granted land by a king, the duke's son would take over that land and that title of duke after his father had died. The title of king, count, and baron also were usually inherited like this, but the title of knight was not hereditary and was only given to nobles who had earned the honor of that title. Serfdom. This hierarchy from king to duke to count to baron eventually gets all the way down to the bottom, to the serf, S-E-R-F, serf. A serf is an unfree laborer who is tied to the land that his lord owns. Serfs were the farmers and the weavers and the carpenters who produced the goods that a vassal would give to his lord in return for protection. A serf is the lowest level of the feudal hierarchy and is tied to the land that he or she works on. To be tied to the land means that a serf does not have the freedom to leave and move somewhere else. Given what you know, what benefit would there be to being a serf? Why would a serf tolerate serfdom? Please use complete sentences. Conclusion. This wraps up today's lesson on feudal organization. Tomorrow you will create a kingdom of your own. This concludes the material for Thursday, April 16th.